Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And today I have the aha guy, Mitchell Levy. Mitchell is an accomplished entrepreneur who has created 20 businesses in Silicon Valley, including 4 publishing companies that have published more than 800 books. Currently, Mr. Levy is the aha guy at Aha That, and CEO of Think Aha. He is a best-selling author with 56 business books and a contributor at Entrepreneur Magazine. In addition to these accomplishments, Mr. Levy has provided strategic consulting to more than 100 companies, advised more than 500 CEOs on critical business issues, and has been chairman of the board of a NASDAQ-listed company. You can join the conversation about thought leadership best practices on his LinkedIn group that he runs, or you can watch episodes on being a thought leader at thoughtleaderlife.com. For more information, you can also visit the ahaguy.com. So on the show, in the showcase description, I have a link to his LinkedIn group, to the Thought Leader Life website, and also to the Aha Guy. So there are many ways that you can get in touch with Mr. Aha. So, Mitchell, thank you for joining me today.
Great to be here. You know, every time I hear my bio, I'm thinking, man, there's a lot of ahas in there.
Aha. Well, you know that's very important. So
it might do it. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I would, first of all, I'd love to start with the – you know, the aha, you know, how did you become the aha guy, and exactly what is this all about?
You know, I think when I look at my career and what I've done, and whether it's in the corporate world or outside the corporate world, I've always been the type of guy that wants to get help people improve, help people get better at what they do. In the old days, I used to call it, I want people to have a light bulb turn on. You know, so during the dot-com days, I was a consultant. I ran a bunch of conferences. I created 70 courses at university. And I often would look for our students or the company or the CEO to have that light bulb turn on, essentially have that aha moment, have that moment where they go, I get it. I see now during the dot-com days, I know this is going to sound silly, I see how we could use the internet to make our business more streamlined and make things faster. But that really was an issue. Nowadays, what's really cool, it's not just about Mitchell Levy doing it. It's not just about me helping others have that aha moment, but rather having a platform and having the leverageability to allow other people to more effectively communicate their potential aha messages and deliver aha moments to their audience.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, I think that, you know, when that light bulb goes off, you know, and people, you know, get that that insight, you know, that they're thinking for, truly that inspiration quite often is the seed of great things, you know, and many times can really send someone down a path, a journey, you know, on a journey that is really helps them fulfill whatever their purpose is.
Yes. And I would say that you can deliver those opportunities for those seeds to blossom. You could water those seeds in 7-second sound bites. And that's really what the aha moment to me today is something that's delivered in a 7-second sound bite.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll learn about maybe how we can how we can do more of that. One of the things on your website, you talk a lot about being a thought leader. So I'd like to explore that, and if you wouldn't mind, kind of tell us what a thought leader is, and why is it something that we want to strive to achieve?
So if you've heard the term thought leader and use it in business, you may say to yourself, well, it's an often overused term. And so we'll cover that a little bit later. If you haven't, what I'd like to say is think of the thought leader as the recognized expert in a space, right? And so the reason why the world looks to thought leaders is they look to experts. They look for people who have the answer. And so the answer comes from a number of different places. Obviously it comes from Google today. But if somebody types in, if they have a question and they type in to Google and they ask for the answer, wouldn't it be cool if your name popped up as somebody who can provide the answer? That is probably the most distinct answer I can give. Now, if you go to our website, thinkaha.com, and under thinkaha.com, I have a bunch of tabs, but the second tab in is called Thought Leadership. And under that tab, there are two bullets. There's the Thought Leadership funnel, but there's also the definition. So if you go to the definition of thought leadership, I've got, and marketing people always have to share a 2x2. So I have a 2x2 that's worth looking at. And the 2x2 is really audience by content. And to think about this, the thought leader is the person who has the right audience for the right content. Now, I'm using the word right appropriately. But if you're looking at some of the other elements, if you have a limited amount of content but a large audience, you're an evangelist. If you have a really tiny audience but a lot of content, you're an expert. So to be the recognized expert or to be the thought leader, or I like to call it the aha leader, to have the right amount of content for the right audience. And I use the word right because I think the old definition of the word thought leader meant that it was the person who stood on the platform that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people would listen, they'd speak, and people would just jump. And the current answer of thought leadership is there's so many megaphones, there's so many people out there, there's so many people proclaiming to be good at what they do. You don't have to speak to the world. You have to speak to the audience that's relevant to you, and you have to have the right information for the audience that's relevant for you. So you can carve a niche that's much more focused in you being the recognized expert or the thought leader, or like I said, to be the aha leader, you just have to have the right audience for the right, and the right content, and life will be good. And so that's the reason you want to be a thought leader, is so that people recognize you as the expert in your space.
Yeah. Now, when it comes time to defining what your space is and possibly even what the right amount of content is, where do you begin? Where do you begin in defining what your space would be?
Robert, what a great question. Nobody has ever asked that question on the air before. So nicely done.
Okay.
So let me answer it in a slightly different way, and then you tell me if I don't cover it, and we'll come back. So if I'm standing in front of a bunch of consultants and I tell them they could write a book in 8 hours or less, and there's lots of skepticism, and by the time we're done with this interview, people are going to say, yep, I get it, I know how to do it. And I actually say, hey, what are you going to write your book on? Right? This will answer the question on space very quickly. Do you write your book on, and I give them three answers. Do you write your book on what you're an expert in today? Do you write your book on what you get paid to do today? Do you write your book on what you want to get paid to do tomorrow? Now, inevitably, when I have people raise their hands, 80% of the people raise their hand on, they write the book on number one, what they're an expert in today. probably about 10 to 15% raise their hand and say, "Oh, I should write my book on what I get paid to do today." And as little as 10 or 5% of the audience will raise their hand and say, "Hey, I want to write my book on what I want to get paid to do tomorrow." Now, for me, particularly if you can write a book in 8 hours, the answer is you write a book on what you want to get paid to do tomorrow. For you, just so you know, nirvana is when all three is the same. So let's come back to what space do you play in? The space you want to play in is the space that allows you to get paid to do what you want to do tomorrow. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
So, what does that mean? Well, what is the job you do? What is the focus you're on? Who is your audience? Who will potentially pay you to do what you're doing? And those are some of the questions you need to ask to figure out is, what is the space I want to play in? And typically what happens when you're experimenting with something new is you go to an existing client and you go, "Hey, I'm thinking about opening a practice or focusing on this area. Is this something you're interested in? What would you pay for something like that?" Right? So you do focus groups. And then you go, where do your peers hang out? You know, what are the types of things that they do? Is it physical meetings? Where online, socially, do they hang out? What do they digest? What books do they read? What magazines do they read? What online forums? What social media sites do they play on? Right? So if you always hear people talk about this, but you come up with an avatar of who the client is that's going to pay you to do what you want to do tomorrow. You figure out where your avatar hangs out, and that's the space you play. It's where the avatar of the client that you want to achieve is going to be. Does that make sense? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. You did. You know, and I'm quite honestly, the idea of writing a book to focus on the area I want to be paid in tomorrow would never have crossed my mind. You know, because I mean, truly,
I knew you were stuck somewhere. I didn't get you past there.
It would never have. I mean, now it makes sense. I mean, you know, the idea of what you're doing is you're creating the platform, I mean, to launch from for what you want to do tomorrow, what you want to get paid for tomorrow.
It's cool, right? I mean, so i.e. aha moment, right? It's what you hear it, you can't put it away, right? And
right.
Mm-hmm. And you say to yourself, what do I want to do tomorrow? Now here's a great world. What if you knew what you wanted to do tomorrow, and you actually knew a potential client that had that problem? And what if you talked to that client, you learned a little bit more, and then you wrote a book that solved your client's problem? Now, if it's going to take you a couple hundred hours or 1,000 hours, you're not going to do that. But if you could write a book in 8 hours, so imagine you now go to your next Saturday, and on Saturday you write your book, which has 140 bite-sized quotes, i.e. 140 aha moments, and you write your book that really addresses the problem that that client has, which happens to be what you want to do tomorrow. You then tell that prospect that you have a, or as you know, that future advocate, you have a book that you think they might be interested in. Who do you think gets hired for the job?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very proactive.
It's the thought leader. It's the thought leader that has spent the time writing a book on a topic that addresses the problem that the prospect you want to acquire has.
Yep. Wow. Yeah, that's – you certainly got me thinking already. So, I mean, I can't wait to end the show and start working on that. No, I'm –
if you're serious about that, send me an email with a couple of the ideas you have of what you're going to write about.
I'll definitely do that. I never really spent quality time thinking about, again, what it is I want to get paid for tomorrow. I've often focused on that experts' experience right now and what I'm doing now to be paid for. So, well, I mean, it was very much a past and present versus a future.
Well, the great Jim Rome used to say that we work – for those of us who actually work hard, we often work really hard at our jobs, but we don't spend any time working on the plan of where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work hard on the plan, you got to work hard enough on your job so you get paid and you're happy and your boss is happy, blah, blah, blah. But if that's not where you want to be, you got to plan for tomorrow. And the AHA That platform, which we'll talk about, is a phenomenal tool to be able to help execute on your plan for tomorrow in a very quick and effective way.
Yeah, great. I'm looking forward to it. And for the listeners, we're going to probably get to that right after our short break about halftime. So one of the things that when I was going through and looking at your website and preparing for today's show, there was a model that you have on the thinkaha.com website, and it's called the Thought Leadership Funnel. And to me, it was interesting in the sense that it deals with an organization and what their products or services that they have to offer, as well as the buyer. So, I mean, it's a seller-buyer kind of relationship that the model looks at. But it's something that the way that the funnel is set up is something that I've never seen before. So I would love for you, if you wouldn't mind, sharing with the listeners a bit about that thought leadership funnel.
Oh, sure. And by the way, we could spend a couple hours or an afternoon just going through the thought leadership funnel. So we'll make it quick since we don't have that type of time. But once again, you can go to thinkaha.com, click on the thought leadership tab, and then go to the thought leadership funnel. And what you'll see there is you'll see a graphic. You'll see a description of the graphic. You'll also see something like 50 or 60 videos of people talking about different sections of the funnel, right? Because I'm a big fan of using today's technology to advertise and to talk about what you're doing. And so, if you scroll down that page, you'll see a ton of people talking about different sections, what the funnel is, how it works, what areas of the funnel is involved. And largely, this was my focus on getting people to think about expanding the traditional sales funnel. The mm-hmm. sales funnel, the way it exists, has, it looks like a funnel. It's really wide at the top, and then it narrows down. So you basically are blanketing the world or wherever you think the appropriate world is. You're blanketing the world. You're getting people to the top of your funnel. And then what you're hearing with the content marketing tools or good sales organizations is you're helping your prospects move down the funnel to the point where they're actually buying. And in the sales funnel approach, you've got a large number of people coming into the top of the funnel, and it gets narrowed smaller and smaller and smaller until you have a small number of people at the bottom who are buying. What I did with the thought leadership funnel is there's a couple of interesting assumptions that people make. With the sales funnel, it starts at the top and ends at the bottom. It's the same sort of silly concept that people had when they first started building websites. When people first mm-hmm. started building websites, the assumption was everyone lands on the homepage and then navigates from there. But as you well know, with search engine optimization and Google and other search engines, when you type in a question, you end up somewhere in the middle of a website. So why wouldn't you end up somewhere in the middle of the sales funnel? And the answer is yes, you do, and that's what the thought leadership funnel is. It's the recognition that you may end up somewhere in the middle of the funnel by either, at the top of the funnel, you're basically doing the awareness. This is no different than the sales funnel. You're doing social media, blogs, TV, print, radio, like we're doing here. middle of the funnel, and these are both one-to-many opportunities, is where you're engaging the audience. So there may be more interactivity. Like if people came in and started having phone call interactions or website interactions with this, it's much more engagement. It's where you're speaking, where you're writing, where you're producing content that's much more focused to the audience. Now, the interesting part, and typically that's the funnel getting narrower, but where it gets wider is I call it the future advocate. It's your prospect who is looking for information, finds it, and wants to engage and learn more. So it's where, you know, if you have good SEO or good search engine stuff or paying for ads and people are finding your content because you're answering the questions they have. When people have problems, what do? They go to Google and they say, how do I solve this problem? Or they go to YouTube and they say, hey, show me a video that does the following, right? If you want to learn how to create a good LinkedIn profile, go to YouTube and type in, how do I create a good LinkedIn profile that helps show me well? And I did that about, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and I watched 8 hours of videos, and I felt much more like an expert after watching it, and even more so after deploying it and bringing up my follower count from, I think it was about 4,000 at the time, to about 12,000 today, right? And so it's, you want to learn something, it's very easy to learn. Well, your future advocates, i.e. your future customers, and the reason I use, as opposed to future customers, I like the word advocate, is every one of your customers is also someone who's going to be your referral source. And so if you treat people well and you do great customer service, you know, i.e. keep your Yelp score as high as it possibly can, then your people will come to you not just because your ads, not just because of other things, particularly when we're inundated with information. Sometimes if you have a friend who you really like and really trust, i.e. they're your own personal thought leader, if you have somebody you really like and you say, hey, listen, I need to do this, I don't want to spend much time, what product do I buy or what service should I use, and they tell you and you just go and buy, that is a great example of what happens today that never happened in the past. And so the thought leadership funnel sort of takes those elements into consideration and recognizes that the funnel is not driving from the top down but can come from any particular location, and it is important for you in terms of running your business. It is important to make sure that you're also actively fostering all elements of the funnel in a positive way.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was the first of all, I like the recognition about being landing somewhere, you know, in the funnel, you know, when someone is seeking a product or service, you know, and you know, that is that awareness of a Google search kind of putting you in the middle of, you know, someone's website. I mean, that's one of the things that I think that many people who have websites may not recognize that, you know, the importance of having each page really be at its best and putting forth what it is that you want to represent. So there's that part, and then, you know, the aspect of you know, where it the advocate, you know, and referrals, how that feeds up and, you know, upward into the funnel. You know, that I can't tell you how many times that I've actually, people have come to me, you know, with questions about, you know, either a product or service that I use for either the radio or any of my other endeavors, or even, you know, through the many people I've talked to, you know, who would you recommend, you know, that I go to, or is there a book that I can read, and those kind of things. So that happens a lot. And, you know, that's something that your model really shows as being an important aspect in that buyer-seller relationship.
Yeah, it's interesting. I so you've got a handle on all this, and every now and then you've got to, whether it's Robert, whether it's you for your own website, or anyone or any listener who's listening, every now and then pretend you don't know anything about your business, randomly go to Google and type in the phrase that you want to be found for. First, see if you come up on the first page. If you don't, that's something you got to work on. But let's say you come up on the first page and you click on a button and you get somewhere. Or let's say you got a YouTube channel and you go there. Or you've got an iTunes show and you go there. Right? Whatever piece of content that you may randomly bump into, right? First, you want to make sure the content by itself looks good. Okay, that's great. Let's assume we do that. Let's assume that we put out good, compelling content that looks good. The next question is, I'm interested. What do you do next? How easy do you make it? And by the way, what is the interest? Is the interest, I want to buy now? Well, we might make that easy. The interest is, hey, I might want to buy 6 months from now. How do I make sure I stay in touch with you? Well, what have you done to make sure that happens? Right? I mean, there are different parts and different times of the buying cycle. And as busy as people are, I can't remember how many times I found the perfect solution. And 6 months later, I'm like, God, what was that solution I found? I know I found the perfect solution, but where are my notes? Right? And I didn't do any of the appropriate things that are necessary to actually sign up and be kept informed. And that's just all elements of the thought leadership funnel is how do you make sure you're top of mind when you need to be top of mind?
Yeah, that's very important. Matter of fact, I actually ran across earlier today. there was something I had read that what I know would have been helpful for a friend, and didn't mark it down. You know, didn't kind of catalog it, you know, in one way, shape, or form. And then when I spoke to her later in the day, it's like, oh man, there's something now I can't find it. but that's important. Yep. So I'm right there.
and Robert, just so you know, the interesting part about today's world and being a aha leader, being a thought leader, is that sometimes the content you share, as a matter of fact, I'd say only 1/5 of the time, 20% of the time, the content you share should be yours. 80% of the time, the content you share should be somebody else's. So if you find things that are relevant to a certain segment of your audience, well, share it. It doesn't matter that you didn't originate it. What matters is that you curated it and then sent it to the appropriate people, because people appreciate the fact that you have stumbled upon or you've purposely reached the point in time where you're finding good, compelling content that they are personally interested in.
Yeah, that is really important. And you know, with a myriad of social platforms that are out there, you know, people are constantly, coming across content that, you know, would certainly help someone within their circle, and, you know, in forwarding it on. And what it shows is, number one, to the person receiving it, it's like they feel that, you know, you're thinking of them, you want to help them out, particularly if there's, you know, if it's just, by the way, this is it. You know, not a cost for a service kind of thing. To me, it goes a long way in fostering and building the strength of the relationship.
Yeah, I've decided. So I actually play Pokemon, and the excuse I use is that we're writing a book on playing Pokemon, and that we are helping companies figure out how best to use platforms and games like that going forward. But we haven't written a book yet, so it's just an excuse. And I have a friend of mine who sends me the latest and greatest content on what Niantic, the company that created Pokemon, what Niantic is doing and where Pokemon is going. And he doesn't play himself, but he just stumbles upon these articles. He knows I'm interested, and he forwards them to me. And so I have this little warm piece of my heart for that friend who just goes out of his way to share content that he knows I'm interested in. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh, we're about halfway through the show here, Mitchell, so I want to take just a quick break and do want to invite listeners, if you'd like to call in and ask Mitchell any questions, You can call in at 619-789-4359. Or for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions you would like to pose to Mitchell, feel free to send them. And then when we come back, Mitchell, I want to talk about, as far as an organization is concerned, how should they be fostering thought leaders? I mean, can you ever have too many thought leaders in an organization? So I want to talk a little bit about, within an organization, where do thought leaders fall?
Sounds great.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Mitchell Levy, and he is the AHA guy. And in the show page description are many links that you can find out more about Mitchell and the AHA series. There's AHA That, Think AHA. There is a link to his LinkedIn group. And there is also a link to thoughtleaderlife.com. And again, of course, www.theahaguy.com. So there are many ways you can get in touch with him. So, okay, with that, we're back, Mitchell.
Good to be back.
Great,
good to be
great.
Here.
Yay! You've really got me thinking here, which is a good thing. I love that. So with the idea of being a thought leader, within an organization, should an organization be fostering thought leader mentality and actions in all of their employees, or maybe just management? What would be the best way for an organization to maximize that kind of process?
So this is a great question, and although I'm going to give largely a one-size-fits-all answer, every organization is slightly different in terms of how they run and how they operate and how they want to be perceived in the marketplace. Generally speaking, though, we as individual consumers are not buying as much from this closed-loop, faceless entity, but we're buying from people. And we're buying from people we know, like, and trust. And so if you knew somebody at an organization and they said, hey, I hate working here, this is a horrible company, well, you may not buy their products. Conversely, if they said, hey, this is a great company and our products are good and we really try hard to make sure you as a customer is happy, how much better of an endorsement that is in terms of you being interested in the firm. And so given that, you could spend money for advertising, and this is the way life has always been in the past, and people still do a lot of that now. But there's a lot of areas of thought leadership. So what happens if a firm is really good at collecting debt or paying their invoices on time or running, being able to close their books, just to use some really mundane finance examples? Well, there are thought leaders. There are people behind that who could be sharing that information with others. And when that firm, that individual is sharing their best practices with the world, which, by the way, has nothing to do with what they're selling, what it does is it gets you a closer affinity to that company. And when that person's speaking at conferences, writing in papers, interacting online, running webinars where they're actually talking with people, the audience that's experiencing them is experiencing the company through them. And the more you can do that, the more you can have individual touch points with your future advocates, the better off you'll be. And the more press you'll receive and the more awareness you'll receive, and i.e. when you go to Google and you Google names, you know, the more times you'll be exposed to the company and the product. So yeah. I'd say companies are better off really driving thought leadership and awareness of their employee base, because overall it's going to be, by the way, not only is it better because of sales, but the employees will feel better and they'll be more excited about working at that firm.
Yeah, it makes good sense. It would be very motivational, and the employees would, I would think, feel much more an integral part, you know, of the organization and you know, the value of their job. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Okay, well, one of the things that we want to talk about now is we want to move into talking about AHA That. So can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
I know. How could you use the word that?
I know.
The AHA That platform, first of all, anyone listening, I'd love you to go there right now, and you're going to want to go there for a very simple reason. We have 35,000 quotes today that you can get access to in seconds and share for free. So remember before in the first part of the hour, we talked about the fact that 80% of the content you share should be somebody else's. Well, I've got 35,000 quotes that have been expertly curated by our team that you can now be sharing on social media that other thought leaders around the world have said. And it's free. So there's no reason that – I mean, you could spend minutes or hours every day trying to find good, compelling content to share. Well, you can go to the AHA That platform and you start sharing other people's content, and it will grow your social network because you're sharing content of thought leaders. Your network will like it and they will engage and interact with you. And every time somebody in your network does something like tweet, retweet, comment, share, well, they're expanding your network. Well, what we've also done is every one of those quotes are also giving attribution back to the original author. And guess what? The original author is being notified as well as their networks. So if somebody in their network appreciates the fact that you're sharing this author's content, they may do the same thing, share, reshare, quote, comment. And once again, another opportunity for you to grow your network. And so we've had many of our users talk about a significant increase to their social media following by doing nothing more than sharing good, compelling content. So that's one reason you want to go to ahathat.com. It's free to sign up and it's free to use. Now, the second easy button we press, and by the way, when I say the word easy button, I've got a Staples easy button, so I'm going to press one of those.
That was easy.
The second reason you want to go there is that we've had close to 300 authors write their books in 8 hours or less, right? That's a really bold statement to make. So let me tell you what we do. An AHA book, a social media-enabled ebook, is comprised of 140 bite-sized quotes. So if you go back to the conversation where we said, hey, what is it that you want to work on tomorrow? What is the problem that you're solving that somebody out there is going to pay you to solve? And you could sit down in 8 hours or less and you could write down 140 quotes that addresses that problem. And by the way, it's clear if you've already written about it or done things, any one of those quotes can include a URL that points to the landing page, you know, top of the funnel content, that points to YouTube or SlideShare with PowerPoint presentations or videos, right? And so you're pulling together a book of 140 quotes, and what we do as a publisher is we'll create a cover for you, we'll do a copy edit, we'll do a content edit, and so that we make sure you look good. And so in 8 hours, you can have a social media-enabled ebook with your own – well, actually, let me make sure I'm clear. In 8 hours, you could write it. We then need to do the cover design, copy edit, content edit. So you don't get your book in 8 hours, but we have to do that work. And then we actually, when we publish it, we give you a customized URL. So, Robert, your URL you now put everywhere, right? So you put it on your email footer. You put it in your social media. You do it in your announcements. But, you know, if issue that you've written your book on solves a problem, you then go to the people who you know have that problem and say, oh, by the way, I have a book in this topic. Take a look. Now, here's what's really cool about an AHA book. Think about the last book you read, which was 25 to 40,000 words. Think about how long it took you to read that book. And, you know, if you've got all the time in the world, maybe it took you a couple of days or a week. But typically what happens, at least for me when I'm reading books, I'll read a couple at the same time. It might take me a couple months to read a book. And then I say, fast forward 6 months. What do you remember? Oh, you remember one, two, or three points. Right, if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. You remember one, two, or three points of a book you read 6 months ago. Here's my guarantee. You write a good, compelling AHA book. It has 140 potential AHA moments. It takes 10 to 15 minutes to read. If somebody reads it from beginning to end, you fast forward 6 months, and you're going to remember one, two, or three points. So it doesn't mean that the more traditional 40,000-word book goes away. But it's an opportunity for you to put AHA moments in the hands of your prospect base. And by the way, when they're reading an AHA book, they don't even need to spend the 10 to 15 minutes. If they read one, two, or three of the AHA messages and they all resonate and produce AHA moments, they're not going to read anymore. They're going to call you up right away or follow whatever directions you have so they can then talk to you in more detail. So that's where AHA, that's super powerful, is as a platform, it gives you the ability to write your book on the topic of an area that you either want to share with the world or demonstrate the type of expertise you have to allow you to do the work that you want to do tomorrow. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So the AHA book, is it comprised just with the 140 bite-sized quotes, or is there additional content?
Ah, so a good question. So I'm going to answer that question. Let's look at three types of ebooks. Okay, one type which we know is a PDF. And so to answer your question, the answer is yes, but then I'll give you more details. So one type is a PDF, and PDF is typically a online representation of a physical book. Another type is an EPUB, and an EPUB is really the format that you're using when you're sending content to Kindle. So think of it as a PDF is one, a Kindle version is a second. The third type is the one that I invented called the AHA book, and the AHA book has 140 bite-sized quotes, and when you're looking at the AHA, that platform, any one of those quotes have buttons underneath it, and those buttons are buttons for Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Google+. So if you're reading a quote, you can instantly click on the button and share it on one of those four platforms. And we'll add more platforms over time. So I call an AHA book a social media-enabled ebook, and it contains just those four – it contains just 140 quotes. Now, when you create an AHA book, you could stop right there. And we charge $450 to publish an AHA book. You can upgrade if you're interested. Instead of doing just an AHA book, you can have an AHA book and have us turn it into a PDF and a Kindle version, right? And as a PDF and also as Kindle, what we encourage you to do is then write. So in addition to the 8 hours or less, we need another 2 hours of your time, because that's when you write your introduction And that's when you write your AHA book, the 140 quotes. You should have those quotes broken into sections. You can call them chapters, but people don't want to read 140 begin end. They want to read it in sort of a structured format. And the structured format is having it broken into sections. And so we encourage you to choose an image that goes in front of the section. And then you have a choice of writing, you know, either a paragraph or if you want a couple pages of what the section is and what it's about. So when you get to the PDF or Kindle version, it has more content. The other thing that's really fascinating, and we've had many authors write their book in a day, and they've taken the option where we've converted it into both a paperback and a hardcover format. So imagine a hardcover book. Hold on, let me make the sound effect here. I'm going to pick one of my hardcover books up. And I'm just gonna knock on the hardcover book, you know, and so doesn't that sound like a lot of content, right? And so you open it up, We print with color on the inside. It's got one or two AHA messages per page, and it is an extremely powerful way to communicate that you're an expert in the space. And so we had many authors do that as well. But you don't have to, right? You can just do the AHA book and get the word out there. And now that we got this far, let me tell you about the easy button number three that we press. The easy button number three is when you create your AHA book of 140 quotes, you are by definition also creating your social media marketing plan. You've now put together 140 quotes, which are content you want to share over the next quarter or two. Right. Mm-hmm. So at the time you're writing your book, preparing for your future, you're putting your social media content in place and demonstrating that you're the expert that can do and solve the problem that that your prospects have. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, that is. That is. Now, I have a question. I want to kind of go back to the format, the e-book format. You know, I know PDF and the .pub. Now, the AHA format, and by the way, I think the social media links at the bottom of promoting, that's genius. Really, it really is great. You know, for doing that. Now, the book itself, how is it read? You know what I mean? I mean, is it read on any e-book kind of, you know, device that's out there, or is this strictly online through like a proprietary way? How is the AHA book?
Of course. If it's just an AHA book, there's a web-based location that you're directed to. And so for those that are listening, I'm going to give you two URLs. One URL is the AHA book that I recently wrote on why you should write an AHA book. And the URL for that is aha.pub/aha. And if you type in that, it will actually open you up a guest account on the AHA that platform and bring you to the and by the way, if you want to log in, you certainly can, and you can create an account by using social media or just using your email address. And it will bring you to the book that I wrote, and you'll see there's an area where there's a book description. There's an area where you have the author profile and the picture of the author and the picture of the cover, right? And let me give you another one. So that's the book that I wrote on why writing an AHA book. Another one which is really nice. I love this book. It's called A Model of Servant Leadership. Actually, the full title is Mark Dieterding on a Model for Servant Leadership. And so if you go to aha.pub/servant-leadership, you can then read Mark Dieterding's 140 quotes on what does it mean to run a company in a way that you're actually serving your audience and serving the appropriate powers that make sense for you. And it's really fascinating to read content that way. And as an AHA book, and Mark's a great example, as an AHA book, you're reading it online. But with Mark, we also turned his book into a PDF and a Kindle and a paperback and a hardcover. So if you typed the phrase "A Model for Servant Leadership" on Amazon, you could then see what Mark's book looks like in the other formats as well. And you can see sort of how has Mark represented himself by using this platform that way.
Wow. Okay. Well, I will definitely be checking those out. That is, I think that it's a fascinating format, you know, and I can see where that would, and because of just of quotes that I've shared on social media and the retweets and the favorites and those kinds of things, and how, you know, that's generated some additional followers, not a lot, but I can see where by using a quote, referencing the particular source of the quote, and having that be attributed to them and their followers, that would just be exponentially, it would raise your profile of who you are.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And the interesting part is really having the ability to focus on something so quickly and get a book out and sharing it. And when you get your customized URL, it's the cool part is not just you are sharing your content, but if you go back to the thought leadership funnel, your fans and your advocates are also sharing your content, right? And it's just an easier way to get other people who like what you're saying and like what you're doing to be able to share to their networks what you're saying and what you're doing.
Yeah, that is great. Now, you have a LinkedIn group. Now, is there anything additional before we move on? Is there anything additional about AHA that maybe you want
mention? Let me give everyone a URL, and I'm going to give you a URL just in case you decide you want to write an AHA book. But I'm also going to give you a URL because we give away two pieces of content that is absolutely worth looking at, regardless of whether or not you use the platform or want to write with us. So if you go to ahathat.com/author, so AHA that is just how it sounds, ahathat.com/author. That's where you'll see is we have an 8-step process for writing an AHA book. And steps 1 and 3, one is a Word document. And the Word document is what's your name, what's your bio, what is a one-paragraph summary of the book, and what is the audience, what is the audience of your book, and how will they benefit? Because if you can answer those questions, that is the questions that is going to help you write your book in such a way that you're making sure you address your audience. When we do a content edit of your book, not a copy edit. A copy edit is when we look at your English and make sure your grammar is proper and your spelling is appropriate. When we do a content edit, our content editors read what you wrote to make sure that you are saying what you said you would say.
Right.
Step number 3 is an Excel document or a Google Doc where you actually type in your content, and it just helps you keep track of the content and it's the right length. Step 2 is what I want you to look at. Step 2 is a single-page PDF. It's at ahathat.com/author, and it talks about how do you write a AHA message that's effective. And given that we have 35,000 AHA messages on AHA That, you could say that I've analyzed and looked at all of those, right? So I have some expertise. And you look at my Twitter account, which has 48,000 followers, and I probably have another 20,000 tweets I share there. So I would say having published at least 55,000 tweets, I'm probably not too bad at this. So I've summarized all my learnings into a single-page PDF. You should absolutely go there and grab it. The second thing you could grab is steps 9 and 10 is how to market your AHA book, and it's also how you can market anything, and it's also a single-page PDF. So those are two areas that I'd suggest you go to, and certainly something I wanted to leave your audience with.
Oh, absolutely. That's great. And and one of the things, since we're really down to the last couple minutes here, the LinkedIn group that you have, can you tell us what that group's about? So for those of us who are on LinkedIn, what is it that, would draw us to the group, and what would be a benefit of being a member of the group?
Oh, sure. It's the Thought Leadership Best Practices group. So if you went to LinkedIn, you can get it there or go to your location. I've got a URL, aha.pub/t-l-1. B-P, Thought Leadership Best Practices. And really what we're doing there is there's some engagement, and so there are many people who are posting on a daily basis. And when I'm posting, I'm trying to post best practice examples of things I see in the thought leadership space. I can tell you that one of the easiest and best ways to be recognized as an expert in your space, not just writing a book, as I mentioned, but also starting a group on LinkedIn or Facebook. Because the person who has started the book and started the group and runs the group, or starting a meetup group, that's a great way to be recognized as an expert. So feel free to join and contribute there. And same sort of thing with Thought Leadership Best Practices. I'm sorry, the Thought Leader Life, that URL. There I'm just demonstrating how to use social media, right? So we're doing interviews on YouTube and sharing on SlideShare. Both as a video, we're sharing, instead of just doing an audio, we share the video, but then we strip out the audio and we put it on iTunes. We rewrite a blog post, and from every half hour session, we're pulling 40 or 50 aha messages. So when we have four sessions or four and a half sessions, we actually create another aha book. So Thought Leader Life is a great way to show repurposing of content. Feel free to go there and take a look at that. And the Thought Leadership Best Practices group on LinkedIn, there's some great posts there. I mean, there's, like any LinkedIn group, there's some stuff that's okay. I try my best to ferret out the stuff that's not great.
Right.
It is heavily monitored. But generally speaking, you'll learn a lot from just listening and reading some of the posts that people make.
Oh, great. Well, Mitchell, our hour has gone by very fast, and as you indicated, I did have several ahas throughout the show. So
awesome.
I really want to thank you for that. I really want to thank you. I really enjoyed speaking with you today.
Robert, it was absolutely my pleasure. Nice, insightful questions. I always love a host that does their research and then asks questions that other people haven't. So nicely done.
Great. I appreciate that. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Mitchell Levy, the AHA guy. And again, in the show page description are links, many links that you will definitely want to explore. The Think AHA, the AHA That, and definitely check out the free downloads at ahathat.com/author. There's also the ahaguy.com, thoughtleaderlife.com, and the link to his LinkedIn group. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.